Thanks for listening to the Suzy Larson Life podcast, available thanks to support from listeners like you. It's only just a matter of welcome to Suzy Larson Live. Always so honored to get to spend this time with you. In fact, I look forward to bringing you daily conversations that hopefully inspire you in your faith walk, that deepen your understanding of God's amazing word, and that heightens your awareness of his very real presence in your life. Well, we have another important show for you today. You know, every single person is walking around with an accumulated measure of pain in their souls. The question is, how do we deal with how we feel? Many people turn to their drug of choice, eating, drinking, shopping, scrolling, consuming pills, porn, or otherwise. But the thing is, these things only work for a short time. They numb us for a short time until they don't. You know, eventually you've got to consume more and more just to feel normal until you wake up one day and you realize you're held captive by your addiction. Well, the good news is that Jesus came to set the captives free, and maybe today will be a day of breakthrough for you. John Elmer joins me today to talk about his book, Freedom Starts Today, Overcoming Struggles and Addictions One Day at a Time. And John says this, you can be free from your struggle and much sooner than you think. So I'm going to go out on a limb here. I mean, this is a raw show. You know this. It's a no-fluff zone. I'm very raw and real every day, and I know you are too. But this perhaps is the most raw question I've ever asked in all these years of doing this show. But what would you say is the one area that you tend to overindulge in? You kind of go there to kind of numb your pain. Is it shopping, scrolling, drinking, eating? What is sort of your drug of choice? And again, this is not to say you're an addict. Maybe you are, but maybe this is just you catch yourself going, okay, I notice I do this when I'm feeling misunderstood or overlooked or I'm hurting or things feel out of control. Where do you default to? I would love to know. You can text me 877-933-2484. I won't name anybody's names. These are all going to be anonymous answers. But I guess I just want to see where you're at, but want you to know that you're not alone. Also, this book, Freedom Starts Today, it is like it's a one day at a time, just overcoming struggles and addictions. It's a handbook on that. Every day there's daily readings. Every day there's a daily commitment to 24 hours of getting through. We've got 7 copies to give away today. You can text the word book if you want to get in on the drawing, 877-933-2484. A quick announcement before we hear from John today. This Christmas, we're inviting you to give a gift of hope by nominating someone you know for a chance to win a $500 Visa gift card from Faith Radio. We know that that doesn't change the journey, but we can maybe encourage someone who's walking through the valley of the shadow. So if you can think of someone who needs encouragement, hop on our website, nominate them, and we'll announce the winner coming up on Carmen's show in the mornings on December 20th. All right, now let me tell you about my guest. We will get him on the show. John Elmore is Senior Director of Pastoral Care and Director of Regeneration, the world's largest weekly recovery program at Watermark Community Church in Dallas, Texas. He lives with his wife and best friend, Laura, and their 3 children in Texas. John, welcome to the program. So great to meet you.
Suzy, thank you. Thank you so much for your ministry and for even just that introduction. I'm already so encouraged.
I'm so grateful. Good to have you. This feels like a really important conversation today. And before we get into the content of your book, I would just love to know, as you walk with God, what's he been impressing upon your heart these days?
Thank you, Suzy. It's such a good question. I'd love to hear every answer from every listener. What I saw recently, I sat down, I had a little bit of time, and I prayed, Lord, what would you have me read? And Hosea came to my mind. And so I open up Hosea, and I get to chapter 2, verse 15. I've read Hosea before. I've been through seminary. I mean, I've written outlines and papers on the book. But I get to Hosea 2:15, and there is a line that stops me in my tracks. But at first it was curiosity, and then it was profound. So it says, and I, God saying, and I will make the valley of Achor a door of hope. Mm. And I almost read right past it, except it had a little superscript number 1 beside it, meaning, hey, it's going to tell me below in my study Bible what Achor means. And so I go down for the Hebrew, and I'm like, what is Achor? What is the valley of Achor? And this is where it became profound and stopped me in my tracks. The word Achor means trouble. God says in Hosea, I will make the valley of trouble a door of hope.
Wow.
And that is what I have lived It's what I continue to live. It's what I see on repeat as people give their lives to the Lord and say, all right, not my will, your will be done. It's what he says in Romans 8:28, where he says, you will use all things for good for those who love God. It's the same as Genesis 50:20. What was meant for evil is now being used for good for the saving of many lives. It's that refrain. It's Ephesians 1:11, where he says, I will work all things into accordance of my will. And so there is no valley too deep, no evil too great that God says, I can redeem that. Like in my hands, I can redeem that. I'll re-engineer it. I'll repurpose it. This will not be the final word. I will make that valley of trouble your doorway of hope. Mm.
Wow, somebody got to text me an amen. I'm thinking you maybe needed to hear that today. We've got a live text line, John, and when I ask for an amen, we usually get a flurry of amens. That was a word from the Lord. Thank you so much for that. And, you know this, the first couple sentences in your introduction reads this way: I put a shotgun to my head because I wanted my life to end. I wanted the pain to be over. Wow. You know, when I first grabbed your book, I was thinking, I was reading from someone who helps everybody else get free. And it was a wow moment to go, wow, this is not something you've read about. This is actually something you've lived. So take us to that point in your story.
Yeah. It's incredible timing that you would invite me to be on the show right now. I'm now 17 years sober from alcohol, drugs, but it wasn't the case in December of 2005. I was living on a couch. I had lost everything. Prior to that, I was in sales, had house, cars, lake property, but my sin had caught up with me. A relationship that I was in, found out that she was with another man, one of my friends from college, and so I had two doctors telling me that I was dying of alcoholism, that if I kept drinking, I would die. And so in that like rage and jealousy and hopelessness, and just like looking and seeing how I had wrecked my life, I loaded a gun to kill my friend who was, with the woman that I was with, and then was going to kill myself. It was going to be murder suicide. I didn't want to spend life in prison. And so in the midst of trying to find him, just, I guess, out of despair, I was calling him, trying to find him. I flipped off the safety and put it to my head. It was a 12 gauge Benelli shotgun. And I didn't go through with it, clearly, thank God. I think there was a war for my soul that night. Passed out drunk, still trying to find my friend. And then there was a family intervention. And, a couple days later, I found myself walking into an AA meeting, which truly, I think, was like, it's Hosea 2:15. That was the valley of trouble that God made into a doorway of hope, because I've never felt so much shame, condemnation, accusation as sitting in that parking lot, staring at an unmarked building, thinking like, all right, I was dealt a good hand in life. How am I living on a couch and walking into an AA meeting? And everything in me wanted to just go away and numb it out at the nearest pub. And instead I walked in. When I walked in, AA didn't change me, but God began to in crazy ways, very quickly, and gave me hope through that valley of trouble.
Wow. I'd love to know. I've seen some texts come in. I so appreciate, friends, your honesty. One dear soul said chocolate is her go-to, gives her such joy, but she wants her dependence to be on God alone. And this dear one says sugar and sweets. I'm in a better place, but I can see it's a default when I'm stressed or overwhelmed. Another one said sugar. And this one says I'm having issues with overeating and stuffing my feelings. I look forward to drinking wine at night for comfort to not feel so alone and bored. I think it's so important for y'all to know you're not alone and that so many are dealing with pain. But John, I'd love to know, as you said, that it was God really that intersected your life while going through AA. Can you give a couple examples of how this was like a supernatural intervention for you, where you thought this is more, AA, fine program, but this was more than that. There was, God had a plan for your life and he was intervening and intersecting your story.
Yeah, so AA would tell you that they are after sobriety. That's their aim, and that's what I needed at the time. And so I very quickly started going through it, and then I get to step three, and step three says surrender your life and will, so your whole life and then your will, meaning your every decision, over to the care of your higher power, whomever you deem him to be. Hmm. And in an AA meeting, I had people praying to the doorknob, the Coke machine. One girl, she said, who's your higher power? And I said, who's yours? She said, the Pacific Ocean. It's just, it's anything people can conceive of. Well, from my childhood, I had heard three things. I heard one, Jesus saves. Two, I heard sin leads to death. But I rejected that. I was like, no, it doesn't. No one dies because they get drunk. You don't die because you sleep with your girlfriend or get high. Like, nobody's dropping dead. That's a scare tactic by a youth pastor. And the third thing that I heard that kind of stuck with me through life is I heard people say there's freedom in Christ. And also, I was like, no, there's not. There's not freedom in Christ. He's like a cosmic hall monitor who keeps me from doing everything I want to do. Well, there at the age of 30, on the heels of step three from the AA meeting, I go home and I get on my knees beside the couch I'm living on. And I was like, I mean, I remember this. It was a very humble prayer. I don't think God cares for pretty prayers. He looks, and just in my honesty said, I've squandered everything you've given me, but whatever I have left, it's yours. You get my mind, my money, my body, my life, my relationships, what I do, where I live. I have been a really bad Lord of my life. Would you be Lord of mine? And Susie, he changed me. He gave me hope. He exchanged despair for joy, depression for hope, aimlessness to purposefulness. It's like, and I am my wife and kids and myself will tell you, I am a work in progress. I'm not saying I'm perfected, but he made me new. I tell people he will not make you better. He will make you new. And so he gave me a new life. It was not like an improved version. He gave me an altogether new life. And so those three things, one, Jesus saved. I was like, okay, I was like a deist. I believe God existed, but I now needed a savior. And it wasn't just Jesus saved that it's true. It's true for you. And so I finally placed my faith in Jesus. Second, when I heard sin lead to death, I mean, there I am with doctors telling me that I was dying of alcoholism and I put a gun to my head. I was like, oh, it does lead to death. It just sometimes has a long fuse. And then thirdly, when I heard freedom in Christ, finally at the age of 30, being enslaved to alcohol, I realized the meaning of that is like, oh, I'm a slave to sin. And the only way I'm going to get free is through Jesus. I have no power over sin. Willpower is not greater than sin's power, but God's power is greater than sin's power every time.
Come on.
So that's where, which is why here in, you know, 1 month, 90-something% of every New Year's resolution is going to fail. Our spirit is willing, but our flesh is weak. Willpower just won't do it, but God's power will every time. He is the sin killer. And so you bring him into the fight. That's what I did 17 years ago, and haven't stopped.
We're going to pause here for a break. What a story. Sherry texted in, says, I have chills. So, so good. David says, hallelujah. He can change anyone. He can. Amen, amen. Talking to John Elmore, his book, Freedom Starts Today. And it does, friend. If you're kind of dabbling in things, kind of defaulting over and over again, it really, this book is for you. It's a daily workbook, handbook, basically, to walk you to freedom. We've got 7 copies to give away today. Freedom Starts Today, overcoming struggles and addictions one day at a time. Don't minimize your struggle if it hasn't become an addiction yet, because you want to go after those things, because it's like a decay. It is a slow death, and it eats away at the life of Christ within you. He wants to bring full freedom and abundance to you. Text the word book if you want in on the drawing, 877-933-2484. We'll be back in a minute.
Hey, this is Carmen LaBurge, host of Mornings with Carmen on the Faith Radio Network. I'm seeking to reconnect the eternal with the everyday. I do that in part through conversations about today's relevant issues, hopefully helping to equip you to bring Christ back into every conversation in your life. You can subscribe to my daily podcast at myfaithradio.com or wherever you listen to podcasts.
God is in this story.
Thanks for tuning into Susie Larson Live. I believe you're not here by accident. I think this is a divine appointment. I'm talking to John Elmore, his book, Freedom Starts Today, Overcoming Struggles and Addictions, one day at a time. And he opened his book and his story today. If you're just hopping on now, when the live show's over, go back and catch the podcast and start from the beginning, because the first lines of his book, he had a gun to his head, was ready to end it because he found himself embroiled in addiction and had lost everything. And God reached down from on high and rescued and restored him and now uses him in massive ways to help others get free. And I've asked you to be super honest, friends. You know, what's your default? Maybe you're not addicted, but maybe you are. A lot of Christians are addicted in the shadows, but sometimes it's just sort of a default thing. I realized for me, especially in the last couple of years of some pretty challenging health challenges, I didn't even realize I was doing it. I was so hurt that I was going around this mountain again and again with this health after a 30-year battle, that I was buying clothes. I bought one cute outfit, then I bought another. And after doing that several times, I'm like, what in the world am I doing? But it was, I realized I defaulted because deep inside I was hurt that God wasn't bringing relief to my struggle, and I repented. And this isn't about legalism. It really is about not giving the enemy any foothold in our life. A number of people have said they default to sugar, carbs, that kind of thing. This dear listener wrote in and said, praise God, my son as of yesterday has been alcohol-free for 2 years. God has restored his marriage and his family of four. Praise God, that is so powerful. John, you write this, sin is a supernatural problem that demands a supernatural answer. You have no power over sin, but God has all power over it. So if you're tired of losing the fight against sin, prepare to be no longer tired. I love that. So I'm sure you're aware of that report released by Barna a number of years ago, and I'm sure it still holds true today, that there were as many addicts within the church as there were outside the church. And my guess is on both accounts, it's still true. It's just that the numbers might be higher since COVID. But what do you know?
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right. I think there's a phrase that I'll say is that we don't stop sins, we swap sins.
Oh, wow.
And within the church, especially on the heels of COVID and the shelter in place and the economy, there's just, we see people running to different coping strategies, as you've said. And Susie, I want to thank you for something that chokes me up. You just said on international programming that what one of your past struggles was with finding a little bit of relief through purchasing. And I think that here's what I say is that leaders go first or others may never. And so what you just did is you just made it safe for everyone else. And so I just thank you for that. You just made it safe for everyone else to confess and say, hey, me too. Like, I have something. And in the body of Christ, I mean, it's Romans 8:1. There is no condemnation. And it says in James 5:16, it says, we confess our sins to one another and pray for each other, not so that we may be shamed or condemned or shunned or gossiped about. It says so that we may be healed.
Amen.
But if you want to be forgiven, you confess to Jesus. 1 John 1:9. He's faithful and just. He'll forgive you every time. Cleanse you of all unrighteousness. That's forgiveness. God says, but if you want to be healed, I have a different offense. For that, you confess and pray to each other. And so thank you for, you just modeled one of the most transforming gospel powers of confessing sin, of buying or materialism or whatever you would say. As you said, not legalism, just wisdom, like something that had started to creep in, and it made it safe for everyone else to do the same. And I love that your listeners are texting in, and so we can pray, and then God promises, hey, one confesses, one prays, and I heal. It's what he does.
Praise God. That's so beautiful. Thank you for that. You know, you referenced a quote from A.W. Pink, who is an old English Bible teacher, and he was talking about the nature of Christ's salvation is woefully misrepresented in modern day evangelism, because we talk about salvation from hell, but we don't talk about saving from sin. And I think that was kind of like a mic drop moment in a way, because truly, if we're just getting out of hell for free, so to speak, which it wasn't free, but you know, but we're not bothered by sin, we're still living captive. So unpack that concept, because that to me brings our reverence before God and our call to be transformed to a whole new level.
Yeah, I think it's something that we so much forget about the gospel. We think of that just, hey, you get eternal life when you die. You don't go to hell. And it's like, okay, well, I guess I'll just eke out this broken spiritual existence, this side of eternity. And my thing has always been my thing. I've struggled with it for the last two decades. And I've tried to quit. I've pleaded with God through tears. And so I guess he doesn't care, or my faith isn't great enough. And it is lies. It's lies from hell. It says in Romans 8:13, It says, if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But God would never leave us there. He says, but if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the flesh, you will live. It says that he, one of the Holy Spirit's roles, is to kill sin. And I think that we're satisfied, too easily satisfied, with eternity, just heaven when we die, and then we try by our own white-knuckling, bootstrapping, self-help, life hacks to try to get out of sin on this side, when all along the Holy Spirit's like, just ask, that's my job. You don't have power to do that, but I can. I watch my kids get so frustrated trying to put together toys, and I'm like, do you want my help? And they say, no, they want to do it themselves, and I'm just watching them in frustration. And then finally I'll be like, okay, will you do that? And I'm like, yes, I can fix it. I can put it all together. Like, I know exactly what to do. And I'm not mad at them. I'm just eager for them to ask. And once they do, I jump in just like the Spirit does. He lives
so
to do
beautiful.
It.
Yeah, I mean, well, lives to make intercession for us. You know, I wonder how often our little kind of indulgences before their addictions get amped up around holiday season, because it's a good excuse to indulge. Everybody's doing it. Then it doesn't look, you can almost be more open even about it, because it doesn't look so bad because 'tis the season. But to me, you know, I mean, I have a devotional called Prepare Him Room, and I talk about little fasts, and it's, again, not legalism, but it's practicing restraint in a way so that you can make space to hear from God. Say a word, if you would, about just the temptation in these kinds of seasons to go all out, because everybody else is, but you don't realize what you're doing to your own self.
So it's a really strange thing. I was talking, you know, and being a pastor at a church, talking to a funeral director about a funeral, and I said, how are you doing? And he said, well, it's busy season. And I said, busy season? What? You have a season for death? He's like, oh, of course. And it was December. And I said, why is that? He said, oh, it's easy. Everyone's overindulging, so they're drinking too much. There's drunk driving accidents. They're overdosing. People are depressed around the holidays, and so they're making decisions they normally wouldn't make. Suicide rates are up. It's such a strange phenomenon, it's such a celebratory time, but it's also such a dangerous time, because I think you're right. We do let our guard down at the holiday party or gluttony, or maybe we're alone during the holidays. And because of that, we're looking to quiet some of those feelings with fleshly desires rather than holy ones. And so it really is it's a delicate time. And one of the amazing promises that God gave us, we're not alone. We don't just have to, you know, bear through. But in Galatians 5:16, it's incredible. There's a small command with a huge promise. He says, so I say, walk by the Spirit. And the Greek word walk is like all day, every day. The English fails us. It's this ongoing, present tense, continuous. Walk by the Spirit. You're like, okay, good enough. And then this huge promise. He says, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. He's like, you just walk with me. That's the answer. Just walk with me. And so I would say quiet times are good. They're just not sufficient. We've got to walk with them all throughout the day.
So good. Talking to John Elmer. And if you've got a question, as somebody wrote in and said, how can we start a group like John's around food addiction? Because everything that's come in so far has been sugar and food addictions. We'll talk a little bit about that when we come back, how important support is, and a few other parts of John's story that's so fascinating. 7 copies of Freedom Starts Today. Text the word book to 877-933-2484. We'll be back in a minute.
On the mountains, I will bow my life to the one who sent me there. In the valley, I will lift my eyes to the one who sees me there.
Hope you're having a fantastic day. We are sure having a great conversation today on Suzy Larson Live, talking to John Elmore. He's the author of the book Freedom Starts Today, Overcoming Struggles and Addictions One Day at a Time. And I've been asking you to chime in and tell me, what's your default thing? What's your go-to thing? Is it scrolling, eating, drinking, shopping? What is it? I would sure appreciate it. All those answers are anonymous. You can text 877-933 2484, and it's easy to minimize your default thing that you go to again and again if you think, well, it's not an addiction. And that's why I love this book covers both struggles and addictions, because you don't, if you think that path through down the road a bit, do you like where it's taking you? And if not, it's freedom can start absolutely today. It can be quicker than you think, as John says. We've got 7 copies to give away today. Thanks to Baker Books, you can text the word book to get in on the drawing, 877-933-2484. John, how does a person know if they've crossed over from overuse to excessive use or from indulgence to addiction?
Yeah, I think it's a really good question. And I think we can, you know, like most things, the Lord has given us answers. And so in Romans 13:14, he says, clothe yourself in the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh. And so rather than me saying like, well, you know, that fourth drink, or, you know, the second time you look at porn in 1 week, or any kind of metric like that, what the Lord says is to make no provision for the flesh. And so I think that's where the Spirit comes in and convicts. It says in the scriptures that his role is to convict the world of sin, guilt, and righteousness. Like we know that we can hold our life up to the word of God. We can invite others to say, hey, this is what's going on. What do you think? And so, you know, with alcohol, I mean, the Lord says in the scripture that he gave wine to make the heart glad. It doesn't say don't drink. It says don't be drunk. And so, as you said earlier, there's nothing about legalism. Like, legalism is sin. It's unwise. But instead to say, all right, 1 Corinthians 10:31, whether I eat or drink, I'll do it all to the glory of God. And so can I shop to the glory of God? Can I eat one cookie to the glory of God? Probably. Can I eat 3? I'm not sure. Can I have 12? Probably not. And so but I think what we're doing is we're holding our lives with open hands to the Spirit, to the scriptures, wanting to live our life to the glory of God, knowing that our body is a temple, we've been bought at a price, and then allowing others to speak into it. Someone texted in and said, hey, how could we start one of these groups? And I think that's such a good question, because the Lord has given us, I mean, you look at all the one another's in scripture, there's over 100 in the New Testament alone, as the Lord just says, one another, one another, one another, just love one another, serve one another, give to one another, encourage one another. It's all about this life together. We are, 1 Corinthians 12, the body of Christ. The hand can't say to the foot, like, I don't need you. We're just inextricably entwined with one another, with Christ at the head. And so in Hebrews 3:13, it says, encourage one another daily. So that it's like, okay, well, that's a nice thing. What do we just, you know, send each other a nice encouraging note because God says to? Well, he gives us the reason why. He says, so that your heart will not be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. Now, if you flip that, if you say, well, if you are not receiving daily encouragement, right now your listeners are from you and from our conversation, and hopefully they'll then take that to others. It says if you don't then receive that daily encouragement from a brother or sister in Christ, it says that the natural default setting is that our heart will be hardened because we'll be deceived by sin. And so Sunday at church is great, and women's Bible study on Wednesday is great, and men's Bible study on Friday, whatever. Those things are great. They're just not sufficient. God is saying every single day, not just Sunday, but every day you've got to have encouragement, not just from like daily quiet time. He says from one another, that just like a coal taken from the fire will cool, but staying in the fire will remain hot. He wants us to encourage one another so that we won't be deceived. And so I guess I'm answering your question in part by saying, invite others into that. Like, I don't know. I'll ask my wife and she'll ask me, like, hey, what do you think? How do you think I'm doing with this? Because oftentimes when you're in sin, it's like if I had spinach in my teeth, you could tell me, but I wouldn't know. And so we need others to help us. That's how God's provided the body of Christ.
I love that so much. We have such a high capacity, and I don't say this in a condemning way, but we have such a high capacity for self-deception. And so to have others that we invite in to speak to that is so important. And you think about, as you say, not legalism around, you know, eating or whatever, but the one consumption that I would make an exception for is porn. A little isn't harmless. It damages your brain, damages your life, damages so much. Wouldn't you agree?
Oh my goodness. Yes. And thank you for making that clarification, that while a cookie or wine can be permissible, it says in 1 Thessalonians 4, it says, you know, everyone wants to know, what's God's will for my life? What is his will? Well, right here it says, it is God's will that you be sanctified. And it's like, okay, made in the image of Christ. He goes on to say what that sanctification is, that you avoid sexual immorality, that each learns to control his own body in a way that is holy and honorable, not in the passionate lust like the heathen who do not know God. And so absolutely, there is, I mean, Jesus says, if you've looked lustfully, you've committed adultery in your heart. And so absolutely, porn, masturbation, all that comes along with it, and the sexual sin that just defiles us. That's 1 Corinthians 6. He says, all of the sin that man commits outside of his body, but he who sins sexually sins against his own body. It's a different in kind evil that just poisons us. And it's at epidemic proportions. It's accessible on all of these devices that we have. Our children are being exposed at the average age now between 8 and 11. Sexual abuse is at an all-time high because people are seeing it, then experimenting with it, and becoming so addicted to it. There's dysfunction in marriage, all the different sexual deviancies that we see. And so it is not something to be toyed with.
Yeah. Our culture is trying to normalize it. You know, our culture is trying to normalize it all the way to the point of perverting our little children. And if there's ever a time to be interceding, and truly, I think, if you have these openings in your life, they do impact, I would say, the power of your prayers even. So, but for the purpose of shutting those things down to honor God, but then to, you know, have your prayers heard in heaven, I think, you know, walk in the fear of God, because the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And I got to read this from a listener. God works in such incredible ways. This is the first live show I've been able to tune into, and the topic alone speaks directly to the situation my husband and I are going through. God helped me realize when I'm upset or feeling lonely or unloved, I find temporary comfort with shopping, Amazon, Target, and I justify it by saying that I hadn't been able to buy myself anything outside of essentials in almost a decade, so I deserve to buy myself a few things now and then. Thankfully, I'm about a month into God making me aware of doing this, and I've been asking and seeking him more now than ever before. God bless you for that. And then she says, my husband turns to alcohol to numb things, and pull tabs has been another thing that goes along with the alcohol. Thank you for your honesty about that. And I remember at the beginning of your story in the book, John, you were saying how your sponsor said, can you stop for 24 hours? And that irritated you. You're like, I've got a much more serious problem than a 24-hour solution. But talk about how that proved to be somewhat brilliant for you.
Yeah, I think that I was so annoyed. He said, hey, could you quit for 24 hours? And I'm like, are you kidding me? Did you not hear what I said? Like, two doctors said that I'm going to die if I quit. I need lifetime help, not a day. I can go a day. I need a lifetime. And he kind of just really ignored me. He was like, yeah, but really, will you go 24 hours without drinking? And I was like, fine. He said, okay, great. Then call me the next day and let me know if you didn't drink. And so I set an alarm on my phone and I called him at 5, and he said, well, how'd you do? And I was like, I don't know. What do you mean? He's like, well, did you drink? I said, no, I didn't. I said I wouldn't for 24 hours. He's like, did you pray? I was like, yeah, I prayed. He's like, good. Then God kept you sober. And I'm like, what are you talking about? At this point, I wasn't a believer. And he said, great. Do you want to go another 24 hours? And I was like, I know you mean well. Thank you so much for trying to help me. I need serious help. And he's like, yeah, I know you do. Will you commit to staying sober for 24 hours? What I didn't realize he was doing, Susie, he was teaching me to live one day at a time, which is what Jesus taught when he said, do not worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow has enough worries of its own. But instead, seek first the kingdom of God. And everything you want, all that's troubling you, it will be added to you. Just seek after God. And so that one day became two, became a week, became a month, became a quarter. And here I am 17 years.
Wow.
And I still, every single day, I get on my knees and I surrender my day to the Lord. Just one day at a time, because that is how he has asked us to walk with him. He doesn't say, I'll give you monthly bread or annual bread or lifetime bread. He says, I will give you daily bread. Here's enough for today. I'll see you tomorrow.
Yeah.
And it keeps us in dependency upon him. And that's a really good thing. We need to be dependent upon him.
Yeah, he doesn't ask for New Year's resolutions. He knows our flesh is weak. He's saying one day at a time, give me today. Yeah.
Yeah. And I think so when people are like, yeah, but how do I do that? It's very, very simple. In fact, you don't need to buy the book. Hopefully you'll be one of the seven that gets it. But if you don't, here it is. It's A, which is to ask God for help. C, is, I'm spelling the word act. A is ask God for help. C is to commit. Commit to another person, to not doing your thing for the next 24 hours. And then T is to talk or text the next day. You've now made a proactive decision by asking God to help you. You're committing to another person, another brother or sister in Christ, that for the next 24 hours you're not going to give in. And then you're going to follow up with them the next day. Meaning, when that temptation comes, you're going to be reminded, like, you know what? I told Susie that I was not going to overeat at dinner tonight at the holiday party. And she's going to ask me tomorrow how I did. And that accountability is going to embolden you. It's going to strengthen you in that moment, because you'll be walking daily with the Lord in the body of Christ. And I have seen people delivered from decades of pornography, from same-sex struggles, from chemical abuse, from overeating, from undereating, from anxiety, like, you name it, every sin under the sun, because that's what God does. He sets people free. He sets us free. He makes us slaves to righteousness instead of slaves to sin.
No. Just friends, I want you to know on Friday I'm going to be talking about Prepare Him Room and about how we want to exit this year and enter the next year with a measure of restraint. And I think what John is saying is so important, just as kind of a precursor to that conversation. Identify your friends now and consider how you want to walk through this holiday season. Be honest about your default mechanisms. And you don't want to arrive in the next year toxic, lethargic, overspent, overindulged, feeling full of regret. You want to enter the next year full of wonder, wide-eyed wonder, and a sense of vision that you've heard from God. But that starts now, where you're planning ahead, going, I'm not going to give in to what everybody else is saying is okay. Who can be your friend that can be your accountability friend? I love that. Ask for help, connect to someone and make that commitment, and then text them the next day. Are you at all in this day, all these years later, ever tempted to drink?
Yeah, of course. I mean, I would say often. I will start, probably sounds funny, maybe it doesn't. Maybe everyone could kind of plug in their struggle and be like, oh yeah, I know exactly what you're talking about. I'll literally be driving with my, like, darling wife and three kids in the car on a road trip, staring off, you know, through the windshield, daydreaming about, like, man, if I was just at a bar on a sunny day all by myself, just numbing out the stress. And I turned to Laura and I just said, hey, I need to tell you something. She's like, okay. I was like, I just, for the last, I don't know, 3 miles, maybe, I don't even know how long, have been thinking about drinking. And in that moment, it's not like, well, why would you think about that? She's like, oh, thank you so much for telling me. Like, thank you. You know that that's always been death for you. And look what the Lord's done, and that stuff, it's a lie from Satan. But thank you so much for telling me. It's just like you bring things into the light and they die.
Wow.
And so, yes, I do still get tempted. And when I do, I tell people.
That's
because
amazing.
Of that James 5:16, confess and pray and you'll be healed. And it says in Proverbs 28:13, it says, he who conceals sin will not prosper, meaning you won't advance. You're stuck. It says, but whoever reveals them, whoever confesses, will find mercy. And so you just bring things to the light. And here's the other thing, as you're talking about choosing your friends, as you walk into the new year and doing battle together, everyone has something. And so you can just have an honest conversation. And like you did, go first and say, hey, I want you to know something. Like, this is something I really want to take ground in. Like, I feel like it's gotten a place in my heart and in my life and in my habits. And I want to start one day at a time to not give in to that. Is there anything that you are wrestling with? And could we do this together? We could ask God for help, commit to each other daily, and then follow up with each other the next day. And let's just walk through this together, because literally everyone has something. It says in 1 John 1:8, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. And so everybody's got their thing, and Jesus wants to set us free.
Oh, so good. Your wife could literally do a clinic on how to respond when a husband gets honest, because that was pure gold. I mean, for her to be able to just show compassion, show empathy, to speak truth, to have your back and to have your best interests. But I think we as women can be so prone to fear. If you do that, then this means this for me. I mean, God had to have done so much maturity and healing in her to be able to respond that way. And I guess that's another show and another topic. But boy, my hat is off to her. That's really amazing. Wow. When we come back, I want you to tell the story about when, let me think here. Oh, yes, when you're going to go make amends. This was so interesting because I know part of the AA program is to make amends where you've blown up bridges or whatever. And you had an old landlord that the Lord brought to mind, but you're like, well, can't I just send her money anonymously? Her husband's a lawyer. He might press charges. But you felt like the Lord is saying, no, you've got to make amends. So I want you to tell that story and just talk about how God has continued to redeem your story. Friends, I can tell this is resonating with you. Text me. Tell me what you're thinking. How is this landing on you? You can text me now, 877-933-2484. I love this from this listener. Wow, that's really good. I'm praying right now for someone to be accountable to that won't judge me. I'm praying for that too for you because God wants us free. He wants to bring us into a new place of promise and use us in greater ways. He wants us free. More with John Elmore in a minute. Hi, I'm Susie Larson, host of Susie Larson Live, and I want to just look back over my shoulder this year and just say thank you to God and thank you to you. Thanks to God for all of His provision, and thanks to you for listening and allowing us to do this journey with you and encourage you along the way. It is absolutely amazing to us that we are getting emails and seeing that we have listeners all over the world in some of the remotest parts of the earth, and that couldn't happen without faithful friends saying, I'm going to step into a story that's bigger than I am. I benefit from Faith Radio, but I want others to benefit too. And because of that big story heart of faith, we've been able to keep growing and going. But we're not finished yet. We feel like we're just getting started. And we know that there are many, many of our listeners who listen, who love it, who benefit, but have never given before. And I say this with no condemnation, but I am issuing an invitation. If you've never given a gift before, or maybe you haven't given a gift yet this year, there's still time. Would you consider giving a tax-deductible year-end gift to Faith Radio? Help us keep growing and going because millions of people still need to know about the hope of Jesus. You can give safe and secure online at myfaithradio.com.
Give me Jesus. Oh, give me Jesus. This world, oh, give me Jesus.
Hope you're having a really great day. Thanks for tuning into Susie Larson Live. We've been having a fantastic conversation with John Elmore, who's written an amazing book, Freedom Starts Today, Overcoming Struggles and Addictions One Day at a Time. I'm so grateful they included the word struggles in that subtitle because the book really is for if you're delving and dabbling into things. It's not an addiction, but you're kind of go-to. You're eating too much sugar, drinking too much wine, scrolling too much on media, buying too many things to numb your pain, whatever your default thing, those things lead to captivity and Jesus wants you free. And this is like a daily reading and he suggests strongly that not only that you ask Jesus for help, but that you make a commitment to go these next 24 hours and you have a friend that you're going to text tomorrow to say, this is something I'm struggling with. But he also says, we all have our stuff. So find someone you can trust who's humble and who can be honest to say what they're thing is. Everybody has their thing. And one of the things as you're walking through recovery, I know in AA it's a big thing where you make amends wherever you can. And the Lord brought you to brought to mind a landlord that you needed to connect with. But then you remember, I don't mean to chuckle, but just you remembered that they were married to a lawyer and it caused some fear in you. So talk about what happened there.
It's worth chuckling about in hindsight. It could have not turned out funny, but AA does have amends, and what I've found time and time again is all truth is God's truth. It says in Matthew 5:22-23, if you're leaving your gifts at the altar, or if you're giving your gift at the altar, and there remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift at the altar. First go be reconciled, then come offer your gift. Proverbs 6 says, if you've been snared by the words of your mouth, go, humble yourself before your neighbor and plead urgently. Let no sleep come to your eyelids. And so no slumber. And so amends is a part of the Christian life that we right our wrongs. We go and ask for forgiveness. It's so crucial. And so as I was getting sober and the Lord's clearing up my mind, and I was in Austin, Texas, where I lived previously, and I was broke. I'd quit my job. I was studying the scriptures and going to like a ministry training school at the time before seminary. And I mean, so just like truly, truly broke. But there in Austin, because I was now living out of state. I was there for a wedding. I was like, oh my goodness, my old landlord. And the reason why she came to mind is after we had moved out, I would break into her house and throw parties. I knew that she hadn't turned the utilities off. And so I would invite all my friends over and we trashed the place. And so, I mean, think smashing out chandeliers and all the trash and, I mean, horrible. Not to mention that's called breaking and entering. It's not just like the house you used to live in. It's a felony, breaking and entering. So I knew where she worked. And so I withdrew as much as I could, put it in my pocket that I thought would cover the chandelier and some of the bills and cleanup fees to have a cleaning lady come. And I said, I walked in and I didn't even think she'd remember it. It'd been years. And I walked in, I said, for privacy's sake, I'll say, hello, Mrs. W. And she was like, oh my goodness, John. Like, she came up and gave me the biggest hug, which frankly made it so much worse. I almost wish she would have been mad at me. Instead, she gave me a big hug. She was so loving and kind. And she said, how have you been? And I saw that as an opportunity and said, Mrs. W., when I lived in your house, I was an alcoholic. I didn't know it at the time, but I've come to realize it. And I drank horrible amounts and I did horrible things. Some of that was even against you. And I broke into your house and I threw parties and I smashed out the chandelier. And I said, I don't know if this will cover all of it, but I want it to be a starting point, and you tell me whatever else I owe you. And literally, she was married to an attorney who could have, I mean, had me in serious trouble. She pushed the money back and said, John, I don't even remember that. Don't worry about that. Hey, what I really want to talk to you about, there's a person I know and love who really struggles with alcohol. Is there any way that you would talk with them?
Wow.
I mean, it chokes me up to this day, you know, 15 years later, probably now. Because that's just, it's how I started. God will make the valley of trouble a door of hope. Like, my trouble, self-inflicted trouble, he's now like, I'm going to use that as a door of hope for another person. Like, it's as if she didn't hear a single word I said, except, could you help me with this person I know and love who's struggling? And I've just seen it time and time again. God says he opposes the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. And so we humble ourselves before him and we trust him. And maybe, you know, in other circumstances that would land someone in prison for breaking and entering, but obedience is worth it. Obedience is not determined by the outcome. We follow God and we trust the results to him.
Love this. You said, God in his providence and according to his word is always at work. He hears us. He knows what we need and even want. And he's putting things together outside our view and in our waiting and hunger and questioning of him. Soon his gracious hand extends to ours and the blessing comes. Our part is to ask with humility, watch and wait with faith, and then give thanks. His part is to meet our every need. And he promised that he will. Michael texted in. I just am choked up at this. He said, I've heard this type of message multiple times, but today for some God approached reason, it resonates much, much deeper. Thank you so much. And of course, amen. I'm just wondering if you'd, I don't know what Michael's story is, but I'm wondering if you'd pray for him.
Yes. And Michael, I want to encourage you to go tell someone local in your community, go share that with a pastor or a brother in Christ so that it doesn't stop. But what God has set in motion today continues on. Let me pray. Lord, I thank you and praise you for Michael's confession. And I pray that you'd bring healing, Lord. He's heard the messages before, but it sounds like you have begun a new work of grace right now, today, in his hearing. The Spirit is awakening him. And so, Lord, don't make him better. Make him altogether new. Let times of refreshment come through this repentance. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.
Amen. I want to read this also from your book. You said, God will not waste your pain. God will not waste your pain. If you give your pain and circumstances to God, they will be redeemed and used for good. This is a promise of God. He promises that he himself will comfort you in all your afflictions. There's not a single affliction, not a single struggle, not a single problem or pain that he'll not comfort you in. It's a promise he's made to you in his eternal word. You know, I've known that, John, but it hit me in the context of this message of freedom that afflictions and problems brought on by ourselves and our own indulgence, that he doesn't turn his back. He meets us in those painful places too, doesn't he?
Yeah.
It's amazing.
Absolutely. I mean, you see, Adam and Eve, the very first sin committed, came the very first covering of grace, where he made coverings from an animal skin and covered them. He responds in grace. He's compassionate. And as a father loves children, so he has compassion on us. It is amazing.
We just have a minute left, and I'm wondering, John, what do you know about God now that you maybe didn't know 5 years ago, or maybe you know it deeper now?
I think before, I thought he just wanted me to stop sinning, and that would be a sin of commission, the sins that I do. But I see so much more now that he is shaping in us the holiness of Christ. And so it's not just to see something, but it's to begin something. And to be on the offensive for the kingdom of God, to not just be in retreat in a bunker, just trying to manage sin and not give in to temptation, but rather he has called us to an advancing, unending kingdom. And there's so many good works to do if we would only say yes.
Amen. John, this has been fantastic. May God bless you this holiday season. Thank you for stewarding your story the way you did. I pray you'll come back again. And by all the texts that came in, I know this resonated with you today. Thank you. We love you. We are here for you. We're walking with you. Pray you found some encouragement here. We'll meet you back here next time. Thanks for listening to Suzy Larson Live. Podcasts like mine are available because of your support. If it's important to you to hear things that encourage your faith, click the link in the show notes and give now.